Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Discover luxurious duvet sets today. Visit harrycurry.com for stylish comfort this spring.
0818 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. 51551 is the text number. It's almost 4 years to the day when we got a letter from Sally Ann Brady, and Sally wrote a powerful letter about menopause and the difficulty she was having in getting it diagnosed and indeed getting HRT. Migraine, the symptoms, migraine, tinnitus, dental issues, depression, depersonalisation, anxiety, hair loss, insomnia, restless leg syndrome, recurrent flu, brain fog, joint pain, palpitation, just some of the physical symptoms, she said. And every time I went to a GP, I was told it was a different issue, even though I kept mentioning the word menopause, and she was calling for a national discussion. And her email was one of the most powerful, and her contribution then when she came on was very powerful. So we've moved on a lot since then, primarily, as we know, thanks to those women and a number of medics and politicians as well. Now, today, as you probably know, Jennifer Carolyn McNeill, the Minister for Health, has announced that the free HRT scheme, which has been heralded for a relatively long time now, well over a year as such, and then concretised in the budget, back in 2024, due to come in on the 1st of January, didn't come in. We had calls, I think, on the 2nd of January, women who went to the chemist. Jennifer Carolyn McNeill, Minister for Health, is in studio. Good afternoon, Jennifer. What's the development today?
Well, the development today, Joe, and I'm so glad to come and speak to you and to your listeners, recognising how much you have all done to advance women's health in Ireland, particularly with menopause. The advancement today is I am announcing that I am going to not just cover the cost of the medication, which was the proposal in Budget 2025, but I'm also offering to cover the cost of the dispensing fee for the pharmacists, which is an additional amount of money that I have found and that I am offering to pay to make the HRT programme, not just free for the medication, which was the budgetary proposal, but free entirely, where the pharmacies sign up for that. So it'll be up to the individual pharmacies to sign up to that. And it'll take a couple of weeks for that to be set up between the pharmacy adapting their computer system and so on. And I'm saying that a good, reasonable time for that to allow to be happened is up to the 1st of June. And I really do recognise that women were expecting to have their medication free from the 1st of January. I took over on the 24th of January and I've been prioritising making sure that this happens. I have to say that, you know, after the budget in November, October, November there last year, there was a lot of engagement between the pharmacy unions, not individual pharmacies now, but their representative group and the Department of Health. And, you know, they couldn't agree on a mechanism to implement it. And the reason, Joe, is because of what's known as a dispensing fee. And for the first time, and your listeners know this because I know it's come up and I've heard it on a number of shows. For the first time, the state was trying to implement a free medicine scheme, paying for the medicine only, really, and not the dispensing fee as well. And I think women and people generally, but women in particular, learned a lot about a dispensing fee, which is the fee that a pharmacist very, very reasonably charges for their expertise, for their handling of the medication. So for a lot of women, you know, of the hundreds of women I've spoken to about this now, let's take a broad example. They might have two HRT products a month and maybe they're paying €45 in total when they go into the pharmacy. And that might typically be broken down at, say, €25 for the two medications.
Okay.
And then a tenner each for the dispensing fee, or €8 each for the dispensing fee, or €7 each for the dispensing fee, because it's a variable fee that the pharmacy can set themselves. And what the budget had said was, well, we'll pay for the medication, so your costs will come down and you just pay the dispensing fee.
And I presume there's a margin in the, for the as there is in every product.
There is, yeah, there is, yeah.
For the pharmacist,
which is reasonable.
Anyway.
Do you know, they're running businesses. Reasonable. And it is reasonable as well to be paid for your expertise. But the point is, the budget didn't envisage, the budget proposal didn't envisage that. So there hasn't been, there's been a lot of engagement then since I took over. This was one of the earliest meetings I've had. I've met with the pharmacy union twice now, which is more than any other representative group that I've met in the number of weeks that I've been Minister for Health, to try to get this resolved for the, in the interest of the women of Ireland. And what I have, and unfortunately, we couldn't agree at, in the end on a price. Agree on everything else, but couldn't agree on the price. And I really do want to progress it now, Joe. I think women have waited long enough and they're entitled to get this medication. It's a recognition of women's health issues. It's a recognition of, to be honest, how, you know, the lack of emphasis that we've had historically on women's health generally. Women have been promised this and entitled to it. And I've tried to go further now than the budgetary proposal, but I've had to find money to do that. And, you know, when you find money, like, it's taxpayers' money. Mm-hmm. And as well, there's an opportunity cost of doing other things. So I'm very sensitive about the use of taxpayers' money. And I couldn't go as far as the pharmacy union wanted me to go. And
so
I
respect fiver.
That.
It's a fiver.
It's a fiver. It's a fiver. So it's a fiver per product.
Okay.
So now what it would mean is if you go into the pharmacy, the pharmacist would get a fiver directly to themselves for each of the products that they dispense. Mm-hmm. So if two products, that's a tenner. And then the medication would be covered by the state as well. So it's an extra budgetary find from the Department of Health, from me, to cover this. But I really, really want this to work. And it's up now to, I'm writing today to every individual pharmacy to set out the terms and to ask them to participate in this. Quite apart from anything else, I want to be getting on to much more ambitious work for pharmacies about what they can do.
But you know, the IP Minister, the IPU, the Irish Pharmaceutical Union, have already rejected your fiver.
They did. They rejected it. I gave them two options, actually. The fiver plus a signing up fee of €1,000, which, to recognising the administrative change that is happening, and there's a process and a cost in pharmacies to that. Or I gave them another offer, which was to continue to charge the dispensing fees that they're currently charging and entitled to charge, mind you, but make sure that the medication was free, that they would allow the state to pay for the cost of the medication. And unfortunately, you know, they weren't pleased. They didn't accept either of those offers. But sure, I have to plough ahead. Like, I can't.
So you're calling their bluff. The union's bluff.
No, I want to work in the best interest of everyone, and I have to move forward with this in the interest of the women of Ireland. And I'm asking pharmacists to, now, to be fair, Joe, like, a lot of pharmacists have said to me they would sign up to this model and they're ready. They just want to get on with other bigger things. Like, do you know, there's an option here to do prescribing in pharmacies. Like, I don't want people with urinary tract infections or with, you know, styes in their eye or throat infections to have to go to the GP every time. I want to get to a point very soon where you can go into your pharmacy and get a diagnosis and a prescription all in one go and pay a fee for it. You know, no bother. We need to expand what pharmacies are doing. We need to give them more different sustainable revenue streams.
Okay, so,
you know, there's so much to do.
So you're appealing directly to pharmacists, and a lot of them now are part of major groups. Have any of the group, the chemist groups, or the pharmacy groups, have any of them come on to you and said, actually, we'll, it just takes one of them to break ranks with the IPU?
Well, yeah, I mean, I've had pharmacies locally in my own area that I would have discussed this with that would be very enthusiastic, that have a mix of private patients and public patients that really just want to see this resolved, that want to sign up. And, you know, it'll be up to different pharmacies. Now, sure, they haven't had a chance either, Joe. I'm only announcing this just right now, but I certainly hope they do.
And will I get a sticker like the flu vaccine sticker on my window?
Oh yeah, I mean, we often do that already with pharmacists. Like, I'll keep a list of those pharmacies that sign up. I'll make that available so people can check, is my local pharmacy signed up or not, or is it signed up yet? And absolutely, we can send a poster out to every pharmacy that signs up. I'm a participating pharmacy. You
free
know,
HRT, free, no yeah. ifs, no ifs, no hidden charges.
I'm a participating
and what's
pharmacy.
And what's the €1,000 up front for?
Well, I recognise that this is a shift and that there's a certain amount of administrative change the pharmacies have to make. And I think that they should be, you know, that should be acknowledged. And I want them to sign up and I don't want them to have difficulties.
OK, put on your headphones would, please, Minister. Ruth Brady, Joe at RT.ie, 51551 is the text number. Ruth, what do you want to ask the Minister?
Hi, Joe. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for making the call.
Good afternoon, Minister.
Hi, Ruth.
I suppose I have three questions. I suppose that all bubble into one. But my first one was, you know, it was announced in Budget 2025 and it wasn't honoured. And a lot of us women of Ireland, you know, voted for the government on the basis of that. We were very pleased with that development. The reasons why it didn't come in as promised, I really would like to know that because I just don't think it's acceptable. And my main question, Minister, would be the women of Ireland that have paid since January, quite a significant amount. I mean, I know you said €45 a month there, but I actually look back at all of my bills before I came on, and I have paid in excess of €300 on my prescriptions this January, which takes me to the end of April.
Is that your dispensing fees, Ruth?
That was my prescription. That was
okay,
for,
because
of
the scheme. Yeah, okay, the scheme hasn't come in at all, so you're...
No.
Okay.
So that's in full.
Okay,
that's my treatment that just takes me to the end of April.
Yeah, okay.
Which includes, obviously, the gel and tablet for me, and everybody's different. So that's my HRT treatment. So my main question, Minister, really is, will the women of Ireland be reimbursed for what they've paid out since January 1st?
Okay, so thanks so much for your question, and I'm delighted to get that example of 60. So you've paid €300 5 months now, so that's €60 a month, right? So, and everybody, as you say, is different. Some people have told me they're paying 40, some 45, some 60. So
well,
it
actually,
is,
it's more. It's just 4 months. It's just 4 months.
You haven't paid for May yet. Obviously not.
No,
so that's just the
I
four.
No.
Grant, but let's say it's 60, €65, right? Approximately that you've been paying every month there. Sorry, I'm thinking up to the 1st of June, so you'd have to pay again next month in May. So that's where I'm thinking. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
So basically, let's say of that €60 that you're paying each month, or €65 that you're paying each month, I would say, and the reason this is it's really important now, because neither you nor I can say, I imagine, unless you've got a detailed bill from your pharmacy, exactly what you paid for the medication. And I think you said you had two medications there, did you?
Yes,
yeah.
I did.
So you have two medications and two dispensing fees. So because pharmacies aren't required so far to have a transparent receipt, and I've announced this now just at the weekend, and I'll come back to it, I can't tell you exactly what you've paid for each medication, nor can I tell you what the dispensing fee is. But I can guess a little bit that your dispensing fee might be about €10 per product, right? So that's 20, and that the balance is the medication, but I can't tell you exactly which it was. So okay. Under the scheme, if it had come in on the 1st of January, it would have covered the cost of your medication. So that sounds like about €45 for the two products, but it wouldn't have covered the dispensing fee, which would be €20 thereabouts. So what I'm going to do now is I'm offering the pharmacies that I'll cover all of it, the medication and the dispensing fee. So from the 1st of June, instead of under the budget scheme, you would still be paying €20 a month, the dispensing fee. You'll now be paying zero if your pharmacy signs up. And that will save you money over the 12-month period under my new scheme rather than the old scheme, which would have just paid the medication. And I think that's probably a better, easier to understand model as well. And I need the money from the beginning part of this year to pay the fee now that I want to pay to the pharmacist to get this scheme implemented. And the reason that it wasn't implemented, and you're quite right to ask it at the beginning of the year, is there wasn't agreement between the Department of Health and between the pharmacy union as to how the scheme was going to get implemented. And although there was lots of discussions, there was an outstanding question. They said, sort of, you cannot implement a scheme without paying a dispensing fee. You've never done that before.
But there was an announcement in the budget that it would be free from January 1st.
Yeah, and the announcement in the budget was that the medication would be free. And
that
I've gone
was
back
deliberately
and I've checked
vague.
It. Well, no, I've gone back and checked the PQs, Joe, as well. Do you know, it says the medication, and I've checked it a few different ways, the medication. But you're right, like, because there was an atmosphere of the whole thing will be free and it's
well,
from January.
Well, the free contraception scheme had been for younger people had been announced, and there was no hidden charges there.
And this one was done differently, yeah. And that was done differently in the budget, that they'd pay the medication. And part of it is as well is...
Is that like, odd?
It's different. But, you know, if you can't do things that are new or different, sure, you know, you'll never get anything
okay,
done. Like
but
at
to
the
go
end of the day,
the,
if you have the, budget, you have to
okay, but
account
the sting,
for the money.
The sting,
you know?
Ruth, the sting of your question, and I'll ask again on your behalf. The sting of your question is, Ruth, rightly so, I've paid out money since January 1st. I was led to believe, we were all led to believe, just before an election, there would be free HRT. Is there is no way, this is my interpretation of your answer, there is no way anybody is getting any money from the state before June the 1st.
That's when I think it's the earliest that can be implemented
okay,
for the
Ruth,
pharmacists
how do you,
to implement
it's,
it.
That's a no, Ruth, to your question.
It's I need the money for the pharmacists. To
well,
okay.
I mean, it's I
know it's
I can
great.
Hear outright. It's a no to the question. So
it's a we mean, are where we are.
That was
answer. Yeah.
Yeah, if we are where we are, and you also mentioned, Minister, that you know, it's taxpayers' money that we'll be paying for the dispensing costs overall. So is there not a way of agreeing that rather than getting, you know, a monthly supply, that every time you get a 4-monthly supply, so there's only a dispensing fee, you know, 3 times a year as opposed to monthly, and that can be agreed. But I still think that, I mean, my concern is that I'm lucky enough that I can afford to get this medication every month, and me and the women that are getting it have to have it.
Yeah.
It's not that we want to be taking it, we have to have it. So my concern is that, you know, with the way the economy is at the moment, for the women who put their children and bills and everything else first at the moment, that can't afford this, you know, a lot of them have had to stop taking it. They thought they were going to be covered from January 1st. So I just think we've taken a step forward with the announcement by the government. It was put in the budget for 2025. It wasn't honoured. And now the you know, we're taking a step backwards. And I think that's very, very sad for menopausal women here in Ireland.
Well, I totally hear what you're saying. The reason it wasn't implemented because there wasn't agreement with the IPU and the Department of Health as to how it would be implemented. And it was, I mean, I was appointed on the 24th of January. I met the IPU for the first time on this on the 11th of February, within 2 weeks, to try to move it forward. And I have been trying to reach a resolution that would just make this clear.
I appreciate that.
But I totally respect what you're saying. And you had an expectation.
I really do appreciate that so much. Yeah, you know, that you're only in the position a short while. Yeah. But, you know, it was announced, I think Joey said, over a year ago. Minister Donnelly made that promise, but it was included in the budget and it hasn't been honoured.
Okay.
So
I think
it's really important that we're reimbursed.
OK, what do you think of the minister's point? One way we are, check me if I'm misparaphrased. One, we are where we are. It's too complicated to go back and try and reimburse because of receipts, paperwork, all that carry on. It's not a step forward. I'm going to lurch forward until the 1st of June, and that's when it will be up to each pharmacy. That's when it will be absolutely free. No hidden charges. You get your prescription. Does that help?
The 4th of June. Absolutely. Yeah, no, it does help. I mean, any step forward is a great help. But I definitely think that, you know, if it's taxpayers' money that are paying these dispensing costs, that we need to be very mindful of how that's agreed.
I agree with you. And that's why I've been so cautious about this, because, you know, I could have gotten this agreed sooner, if, being frank, if I would have been happy to pay more for it.
Well, what were the IPU, the union, looking for?
Quite a good deal more, Joe, and it just wasn't.
Good deal more, is that 50%, 100% more? Was it 10 euro?
No, it started. I want to be respectful as well to the IP, but a good deal more, and it just at a point where I just didn't have the budget for it. And you're so right about taxpayers' money, because, like, I have unfunded health, women's health initiatives like postnatal hubs, that I want another 2.7 million for, you know, for more postnatal hubs, specialist hubs for example, there's people who can't take HRT or who have a cancer or who have chronic illness conditions, and they need really specialist care that goes beyond the GPs. And we have six menopause clinics, for example, as well, that I want to expand and make sure, like, they're only doing a day a week in some places. I want them to do more. And I'm making choices as minister that I think anybody in this situation would have to make. Do I give a bit more there, or do I use the money here?
Okay,
and you're trying to get the best.
Well, Minister, you're not for turning. Roots position stands. You were not reimbursing from January 1st. Everything, it's 6 months late in that sense, but starting on June the 1st.
Starting on June the 1st.
And you want to apologise for the delay, or you seem to...
I want to take responsibility, because I'm the minister, do you know, and I always want to take responsibility. But what I'm trying to do, I suppose...
Well, was it an election thing? Was it what Pat Rapid said about elections? These are things you say during elections.
Well, I think this was in the budget to pay for the medication, and it is definitely different. It was never done that way before, and there was not agreement with the IPU as to the implementation of it. I've been trying to work that out since.
We'll move on. Ruth, thanks indeed. 51551. Joe@rte.ie. Áine McGrory is a pharmacist and a pharmacy owner. Áine, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. How are you?
Good. Are you yes or no to Fiver Friday? Are you in or out?
I'm out to Fiver Friday, absolutely, because it's not Fiver Friday. I just want to address something quickly. I am aware that the IPU have been engaged in talks with the minister. All I can say on that is that I'm not privy to those talks, nor am I involved in any of those. I'm a community pharmacist who works in a socially, demographically poor area, and that's what I'm speaking on here. I do wonder... I do wonder why this is the second time a minister has announced the rollout of a HRT scheme without having agreed upon correctly or agreed upon with the IPU a process that works for all parties involved. But I guess with regards to the €5 Friday question, as you put it, Joe, I would ask the minister on that, if it is what she says is to be a €5 fee plus the cost of medicine, well, Minister, is that the cost of the medicine based off the current FEMPI remuneration process and structures that we have in place at the moment? Or what do you mean by the cost from the cost of the medicine point of view? So 100% of the cost?
Of the cost of the medication, yes. Yes. And so, the five is, and it's, thanks, Anya. The fiver is so for a lot of patients on the GMS, the broader publicly funded patients already, this is something of an uplift, because generally dispensing fees, just for the benefit of your listeners, I know Anya knows this very well, are in the range between €3 and €5 per product, Joe, with one exception, which is contraception, which is €6.50. Mm-hmm. And so €5 is at the absolute upper end of what we pay normally, with the exception of the contraception model. And that
Minister, respectfully, €5 is what you pay plus less than cost of the product. We don't get paid a margin on that. We get paid less than the cost of the product in a €5 fee, and if even. And it's so, a tiered structure. And so we actually, whilst we provide those products, we are currently subsidising loss-making schemes through the GMS
and the
drug payment scheme.
Particularly the case, as you correctly raise, with the FEMPI, with what you describe as the FEMPI costs, and just for the benefit, of people who don't have the same depth knowledge as yourself, myself, Anya, on some of that. There's absolutely, and it's one of the first things we want to do, and we already have a pot of money identified for it, is pharmacists haven't had an uplift in their fees for a very, very long time. Now, they also have had a bigger volume of of people getting medication and so on, but they haven't had an uplift in fees. And I have a portion of money specifically for that. And I have a whole load of things that we want to do that's very ambitious for pharmacists, not just in terms of uplifting the fees on everything else, but bringing in new, different revenue streams as well to pharmacies. And that'll be more relevant for some pharmacies than others, because as Anya has said there, she works in an area of particular social profile.
So there are a lot of people, hopefully, will be covered by the medical card.
But different pharmacies have different profiles. Some might have more private patients, some might have more medical card patients. But I absolutely want to get to that. And it was one of the earliest conversations I had with the IPU. And the reason there you asked me a second question very reasonably, Anya, was why go ahead again without the agreement? And the reality is, like, sometimes we just sometimes we just need to do that in order to move forward, and it's not just the only place that this has happened. So,
Minister,
for example,
the IPU is our representing body, and we have to take instruction from them and put on a united front. And if the IPU have rejected what you have proposed, then how are we supposed to facilitate this rollout? With the current IT and payment processing process in place and the medicine shortages in place, how do you propose realistically by June 1st that this will all be put in? If you yourself
you're talking,
have said...
You're talking about shortages, but Anya, you're saying, I think there's 1,800... pharmacies are members of the IPU. Would that be? I don't have many pharmacies around the country.
I couldn't confirm the exact figure myself.
Well, it strikes me there's many more. There's a lot of competition now among pharmacies. Do you think pharmacies, individual pharmacies, or indeed chains, will break ranks and say, hang on, this is in the interest of women, we'll accept a fiver? We'll accept a fiver for each product we dispense. You're saying you won't.
I won't, Joe, it would be wrong for me to comment on what other people do, but I can say that the pharmacy sector at the moment is maxed to capacity with what it can provide. I'm aware that the PSI, which is the regulatory body, which is fully responsible for the safety of patients, has acknowledged in the Workforce Intelligence Report that there is massive burnout being faced in pharmacies at the moment because we simply cannot sustain and provide the current services that we have.
Yeah, but over, over the last few years, as you know, Anya, there have been massive buyouts of pharmacies. Massive, major names are now here, major amalgamations are now here. There's branding now of pharmacies. They were hardly buying it for these companies, and I'm not talking about the pharmacy. Everyone knows how brilliant our pharmacists are and their pharmacy assistants and indeed all the staff in a chemist, as we call them. But all these buyouts,
they weren't
done by St. Vincent de Paul. They were done by companies that want to make money. So there's a lot of and rightly so. There's nothing wrong with that, but there is money in the pharmacy world. Now maybe the pharmacies or the individual workers say we're not getting it. Maybe it's the big companies that own a lot of the pharmacies. Do you think anyone? No, there's no point in me asking because you say you don't know. I just wonder, will one of those big chains break? And there's new chains coming in. There's a new camp. There are a few of them in Dublin. I see one in Carlow. These so-called cost chemists or whatever. Will they say we'll sign up for the scheme? We'll put the sticker in the window, and then
if they do that, they will be signing up to a loss-making service, and they'll make that money back. Exactly, it isn't St. Vincent de Paul. It's business in those those entities that you're describing.
But they would say
they'll make their money back through retail.
To footfall, yeah.
But I
two
honestly,
more
it's beyond
in,
my
yeah.
remit to comment on
okay,
it.
Okay, but
I
you're
say
saying
to you,
for the time being,
what
on
I
you.
Say to you if I could ask the minister another question, actually. In relation to the rollout of this HRT scheme, Minister, given the current shortages that we're facing
and
have been tackling for years now, which include very common HRT products like, for example, the Estradot patch, which you only need to go on the HRT.
Let the Minister, I'm conscious of time on you. And this is a question coming in, Minister, from shortages. How are you going to address the shortages, sir?
Shortages are a big problem, and Estradot, and I think there's four different patches, and from time to time, this one is short or that one is short. And I've been providing updates to the Shannon and others about where we are and when we can expect them back, because this is a European-wide shortage. Yeah. And this is why the expertise of pharmacists is so important, because, I mean, not every woman is on the patch, but many are. And where they are, it is short, pharmacists are using their expertise to advise women about alternatives. And their expertise really does need to be paid for. And the sustainability of pharmacies is very, very important. And I want to introduce a whole range of different revenue models for pharmacists. Like, for example, it has been possible since last September to get a prescription extended by a pharmacist instead of a doctor. But it hasn't been implemented yet, and it could be implemented. I want people to be able to go in. Pharmacists are so expert. They're so well trained. I want them to be able to go in and get a prescription instead of having to go to the doctor and pay the pharmacist a fee and get the medication there and then. This is particularly important, particularly, say, for older women. I go back to UTIs. Instead of having to wait to get a doctor's appointment to go into the pharmacist. But it is important as well. Like, I really do respect what Anya is saying in relation to agreement. And it's, you know, in Ireland and the Irish government always trying to do things with agreement with representative bodies, but you know, sometimes you do just need to press on. And it's also the case, you know, you've heard me now on the radio about public only consultant contracts and signing up so the doctors can work on Saturday. And when that contract was brought out in 2023, there was no agreement
but
from
Minister,
the representative bodies.
What are we going
bodies.
To do when I get a prescription for there an Estradot patch, and the use of my expertise is sourcing, and I source by going to other companies and getting what would be called an unlicensed product or an off-label product, and that product is going to be more expensive. Are you going to reimburse the cost of the more expensive product when the shortage goes?
Of the medication,
You're going to reimburse the unlicensed product that I have to source. Are you going to pay me a fee for the additional work involved for me to have to source that,
Well, I just want to go back to the point about, you know, moving things on in healthcare. Like the Hospital Consultants Association, the IMO, rejected the public-only consultant contract, but now 62% of consultants are signed up to it. And so we have to move forward these different things. I've spent the last 4 months trying to negotiate a solution, but I don't have the budget to go
I think
any
I've
further.
Been fair to Anya in terms of time, and thank you, Anya, so much. Kay and Jenna. Kay, again, the availability of HRT patches. Kay, what did the minister has already said? It's a European wide problem. Obviously, there is a demand, so hopefully in the world we live in, that demand will be met by supply. What do you mean when you go into my pharmacy, it's Russian roulette?
It is Russian roulette, yeah.
Tell us how. You're very welcome.
he'll say to me, okay, he said, I don't have that today.
That brand.
And hopefully I'll have
okay.
it. And have any brand.
Okay.
Any brand. Now, he does have a brand at times, but my skin is allergic to the actual glue or whatever it is in the patch.
And could he give you any indication, Kay, of the supply chain?
Not usually.
What the problem
up to
is?
A month is usually. Up to a month, he says. So then you see you go from being on the patch to not being on it for a whole month.
Which is very disruptive.
Which
you know.
Is very disruptive,
I know.
Now, what I've taken to doing is cutting it in half.
So you don't run out.
It's better to do that and not run out. You know, it's better to have a little bit rather than none at all.
Okay, well, hopefully,
because
I mean...
when you break the cycle, it's very, very difficult.
Yeah.
It's very difficult.
And hopefully the supply issue will be... will be dealt with, given that it was there when the whole issue came up and was discussed nationally. There was, thankfully, a lot more women were looking for and being prescribed HRT. They weren't taking no for an answer from their doctor, but that was ironed out. But then, as you say, there's still issues. But Kay, what do you think of the minister's proposal? She's saying the state, the taxpayer, will pay for the medication and will pay €5 a dispensing fee. What do you think of that, Kay?
You see, in my case, like you pay for all your medication in the month.
Yeah,
you
of course.
Know, so it reaches a certain point of maybe 80-something euros.
But
so,
if you... Sorry.
Like, the cost is not an issue for me, you know, because I have to pay for certain medications anyway.
Okay.
You know, so in total, you end up paying 81 or 80 euros or something a month.
Let me put it to you another way, Kay. If there were two farm, which they're often are now, if the two pharmacies within the one bunch of 17 shops or whatever, one of them has a sticker on the window, we are participating in the free HRT scheme, no dispensing fee, and you can get your free HRT, and the other pharmacist doesn't have a sticker, will you go into the stickered pharmacy saying we are participating in the minister's scheme?
I will, of course, yeah.
Okay.
I will, of course.
Let me go.
You see, it's going to make it more benefit for everyone in that regard.
Yeah,
and a
reminder, Kay, and I really appreciate it. Thank you. And a reminder there, just in the glimpse we got of how awful the symptoms of menopause can be and how specific the alleviation has to be.
On for so long.
Yeah. Okay, thanks again. Joe@RT.ie. Let me take a first break, and Joe@RT.ie.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
As you may know, Minister for Health Jennifer Carroll McNeill has announced today that the free HRT scheme, which people were under the impression, and I know there's an argument now about this, was coming in completely free from January the 1st, didn't come in because of non-agreement with the pharmacists, the IPU, the Irish Pharmacy Union. The minister is now saying that as of from the 1st of June, which is about 6 or 7 weeks' time, it will be free, totally free, and she will pay the taxpayer will pay a dispensing fee per medication of €5 to the pharmacies. And she's asking, you're appealing above the head of the IPU, aren't you? You are.
I'm asking pharmacists directly to sign up to this so that I can get on with other things, which I think will be very much in their interest as well, and in the interest of patients.
Many do you need, Minister? Sorry, many. Is there?
Well, I mean, I'd
like going ahead willy nilly. If only 10 pharmacies sign up around the country.
I mean, I really want to implement this for the women of Ireland. I have a finite budget. The programme for government says it'll only pay for the medication only. I'm trying to go a bit further and make sure that this is implemented. Pharmacists have told me, I have letters saying, you know, all of the barriers can be overcome. The fee needs to be agreed. There's a bit of a difference in terms of the fee that's wanted and the available money that I have. I have to press ahead with the priorities for the year.
Is there any more room on the five?
I'm afraid there isn't because... First of all, I have had to find budget for that.
I understand that. Is there any more room on the 1,000 hello money?
Well, I made two offers initially.
Yeah.
One was the 5 year plus €1,000 sort of signing up transition cost. And the second was to do things keep things as it were, let pharmacists charge the dispensing fee that they're already charging and just implement the scheme where the medication would be paid for by the state. And I would give them again a signing up fee for doing that, recognising there is a bit of transition for them in moving to a different model. But both offers were rejected. And so what can I do? Like I have to move forward.
In the other offer, And I don't why would you offer them a scheme where women would still have to pay when they went into a pharmacy?
I really,
even
well,
though we were told the before the last election it was going to be free.
Well, we were told that the medication would be free. And so far, women are going in every month now and they're paying both for the medication and the dispensing fee. So I was either in a situation where if that was implemented, their costs would have been reduced very considerably, which is better than the current situation and was the budgetary proposal. Or I can try and go that bit further and get it just free and entirely pay the dispensing fee and get on with doing other things.
On the hello money, it's currently at 1,000. You're prepared to offer three under a different configuration. Are you? Would you go up on the 1,000?
Well, I can't because you see.
That's the answer.
I have only so much money in the budget, you know, and I have to use it for other things. Like €1 million is a bed, is the cost of a new bed in an acute hospital. So the difference of €5 million, which people mightn't think is much, that's five new beds.
So the deal, you know? You're saying the offer stands 1,000 plus a fiver. Per medication handed over the counter. Well, dispense. I know there's loads of expertise and indeed, but in the world of computers, it gets a little bit easier administratively. Jenna Healy. Jenna, your point, please, to the Minister.
Yes, I just think the Minister is actually talking around the part of the supply. This is my third month in a row that I have to phone around pharmacies to try and get my month or my weekly supply of the HRT patch. And I think she's talked around what you're going to do about the supply. But I don't think it's fair that I have to, I phone my pharmacy, they don't have it in stock, they've no date.
And what do you think, and Jenna, what do you think the government can do about the supply?
Well, there's no backup, the backup medications or the off-licence ones, they're not even available to me this week or this month.
What do you think the government can do about, they don't manufacture, unfortunately.
Well, that part I don't know the answer to, but I think it's very unfair that women are left, that we can't get a medication that I 100% rely on.
Minister, from what Jenna is saying, and you're the caller, there is a serious issue about supply.
Oh, there is.
What can you do?
There is, and Jenna's absolutely right. And the reality is this is coming from products being manufactured in Europe, and there is, as I said, there's four different patches, and sometimes this patch is in short supply or that, and then the other backup medications also. The unfortunate thing is the government isn't in control of this part. I can deal with the money side of things, but I can't deal with the availability of it. It is simply demand across Europe. Now, I met other European ministers recently in Warsaw on a range of different issues, including critical medicines more broadly. Like if you're, as Jenna is, as many women are, dependent on a particular medication and it is not available, that is a really serious issue. Mm. And
Have you met with the manufacturers? Is there any way you've encouraged?
At a European level, the Commission do, but we're trying to encourage it. Like the demand is clearly there. It is literally keeping up with demand.
Are they making the skinny jabs? Is there other products that are taking, because they're more profitable, taking?
No, not necessarily at all. I mean, this is really just a question of supply and demand. And then, as Kay said earlier, this feeling of Russian roulette. Sometimes I go in and it's available and sometimes it's not. And that can depend on the when and the month as much as anything else. And Jenna, you're absolutely right to identify that I don't have a solution for you on this, and that is because the solution isn't in my hands directly. This is a European-wide supply problem, but what I can do is I can continue to update the Shannon, the Dáil, or on my own website the information that I have on a month-by-month basis in relation
Jenna,
to this.
Jenna Healy, thank you so much, Jenna. Pauline Gahan. Pauline, good afternoon. Your point,
Hi,
please.
Hi, Joe.
Your point,
Hi,
please.
Hi, Joe, and good afternoon, Minister. I'm on a different banging a drum here now. I am recovering from breast cancer. I had a mastectomy during COVID, chemo, blah, 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 blah. And it was discovered that my cancer was hormone-based, and I am now on a hormone suppressant for 5 years, and I'm paying €80 a month for that.
Yeah.
And we're never mentioned. Everything I hear is HRT to alleviate the symptoms of the menopause. Unfortunately, the hormone suppressant tablet brings you right back into the menopause. I'm 67 now, so second time round. And there just seems to be no mention of it at all. And I'm on part of the drug payment scheme, but I'm also an OAP. So it's now €80 a month that is coming out of my old age pension. So I don't know if you're even aware of these sort of situations.
I am. Yeah, I
am. If anybody is lobbying on our behalf.
No, I am.
Well,
and I'm very aware
today.
That, well, you're right. And I'm very aware that there are a group of women for whom HRT isn't suitable because of their clinical condition. Either they might have had a cancer, they might have a cancer in their family that makes it not suitable for them to take it,
mm-hmm.
or another complex chronic illness. So some of our specialist menopause clinics are designed specifically to support women in that situation. But I'm very aware that the medication that you're taking is not necessarily, you know, regarded as HRT, is not part of the scheme. And that €80, that's you're referring to the drugs payment scheme there, where a household pays €80 a month and the taxpayer mm-hmm. pays the rest of the bill, and that it's not mm-hmm. included in this. And you know what? If you want to send me the name of the medication, but the truth is it's if it's a medication outside of this HRT scheme, I don't want to make, you know, commitments that are outside of the scheme. But I'm very aware of what you're speaking about is what I'm saying.
I certainly will okay. contact your office and give you the details.
Yeah.
But I do feel we are the forgotten people. The side effects of this drug is bringing you right back into the menopause. But it's a double whammy.
You take the HRT to alleviate that.
Okay, Pauline.
It's either 5 or 10 years.
Okay, you've directed. You made your point so strongly. Directed.
Okay, thank you, Pauline.
Thank you, Pauline. Kind regards to you and your family. Vivian is in County Louth. Your question or your point, please, Vivian.
Hello, Joe. Hello to the minister. I suppose, you know, I've been listening to the show, and I have very similar mm-hmm. queries to Ruth and other callers beforehand. You know, we've heard the announcement in October that support would be available for women's health, including the increased access to IVF and HRT free of charge. What planning or consultation was taken by the department in advance of this announcement is what I would like to know. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, it was due to start in January 2025. Yeah. As we know, it hasn't happened. This is now the 15th of April. My birthday is on the 1st of June. Am I going to spend my birthday looking for a sticker in a window on a pharmacy to see where I can avail of my HRT?
So your question there is what engagement was there going back with the IPU, and can you be sure that you'll get your from the 1st of June? And I mean, the department, now I took over as minister at the end of January, but prior to that, the department and the IPU were in negotiations around how this could be done, where this could be done. And many of the different issues that came up, complexity of schemes, computer schemes and so on, were resolved over time and left with just the question of what would the fee be. And I think, you know, that's where the difference between us is. And that isn't a difference I can overcome. But I really do want to move forward rather than continuing going back and forth to try to move forward so that women can get access to the cost of the medication. And now, ideally, the cost of the dispensing fee as well. The other thing that you should expect to see, Vivian, when you do get your fees in the future, or you do go into the pharmacy in the future, irrespective of what you go in for, is that you'll see on your receipt in the next number of months a breakdown of the cost of the medication and the cost of the dispensing fee, because I've agreed with the PSI, who's the pharmacy regulator, that they will have a new standard where there's transparency on receipts in pharmacies from now on. Because I just think this has been a bit unclear. This HRT issue has sort of thrown this dispensing fee question into a relief, you know, or into a light that probably wasn't there for most people before. Do you know, like, most people just went in and paid the money.
You expect the minister of people to shop around?
Well, to be aware, do you know, to be aware, because I think it's very reasonable. I really do have huge respect for the expertise that pharmacists have. I want them working at the absolute top of their expertise. But this HRT issue has shown, as I speak to women in my own constituency in Dunleary, they weren't aware that a dispensing fee was a thing. And that might seem unreasonable if you're a pharmacist, but it's not unreasonable if you're going in and you're given a bill and you pay for it. And you know what I mean? You just don't see the breakdown.
And Vivian,
so there should be more.
Sorry for cutting across you, Minister. But Vivian, to put the same question to you, this is now totally. The system that the minister is now announcing is totally dependent on individual pharmacists or pharmacy groups to say A or nay to the €1,000 hello money and the fiver per product that's dispensed. Would you look around, Vivian, for a sticker on the 1st of June, once a Sunday, on the 3rd of June, when it reopens after the bank holiday? Would you, if you see a sticker on the window saying we are participating in the free HRT scheme as outlined by the Department of Health, would that encourage you to go into that chemist?
Well, it would encourage me, but back to the promises that were made in October, what it's supposed to be, free HRT, not free HRT. If you're willing to, I live rurally in County Louth, so I will have to travel in either to Drogheda or I've had to go to Navan for prescriptions.
So we can put it to Minister, do you think you'll ever get out of that burden that's around your neck, that everyone believed that the scheme that was announced in the budget before the election was free, full stop, no whiffs, no buts, no codicils?
I think that's very reasonable. And
why did that happen?
Well,
wasn't it an election gimmick?
But it wasn't. If you look, I think it's very reasonable. As I said, the budget said the medication, the PQs and the Dáil statements afterwards, and believe me, I've gone back and I've checked them, said the medication, not the dispensing fee. And the reason that
but there wasn't a great campaign, and ministers are on the radio stations every single day on TV. There wasn't a great campaign to disabuse people of the notion.
Well, you're right. And in November, there's an election, and then after that, you have settlement around a programme for government, and then the programme for government says very clearly the medication. So, I mean, I've gone into this trying to implement this scheme that would make the medication free with no budget and no political authority to do it, but I really genuinely want to reach a resolution. Which is why I've had this very intense engagement with the IPU. I've made these two offers, neither of them accepted, and so I really want to press ahead for the women of Ireland. What can I do?
This announcement today is done out of frustration.
It's done out of a genuine desire to see this implemented. I want women to get free HRT, and ideally not just the products.
It's done out of frustration because you've gone above the heads of the IPU. You're now dependent on individual pharmacists to break ranks. If they don't, you'll have egg on your face on the 1st of June.
Do you know, I don't think it's about breaking ranks. I think people just want to get on to bigger issues. I think pharmacists want to get on to bigger issues.
Okay,
I want them to be able to do prescriptions.
Say yes. Okay, Vivian, thanks indeed. Sorry for being rude. I'm time-tied. Marie, good afternoon. Your point to the Minister, please.
Thanks, Joe. I suppose I just think the Minister is being really disingenuous here. She keeps saying these things were never done before that way, with dispensing fees included. I'm on free contraception, and I've never paid the dispensing fee. It was done before. It's not a new thing. And when people heard the free HRT being announced, I know my mum and my aunties, they all thought that it was the same thing. Same thing. And, like, you're a very clever woman, Minister. Must have known that that was also the case, that people would believe that. And, like, she keeps trying to blame the IPU or pharmacies of not being able to reach agreement and kind of pit us against each other. But you're the minister. It's your responsibility. It's your job to implement this scheme. And you've failed for the last 4 months. And people are hundreds of euro out of pocket.
Okay, Minister.
Well, what I said specifically was it's never been done this way, i.e. not paid the dispensing fee. And you're totally right to identify the contraception scheme that pays the dispensing fee and the medication. And in many other ways, the dispensing fee is paid. So this was the first time announced by Stephen Donnelly that the two were going to be separate. And that is where the difficulty has arisen. And I have been trying to resolve it. And I've been trying to do that in a completely good faith way. I've tried to keep the Dáil updated, the Shannon updated, as is my responsibility to. I'm coming out here before Easter, coming on the show, speaking to people directly, trying to answer queries on Instagram as far as I can, email as far as I can, without disrespecting the negotiation with the IPU and so on, which I did never want to do. So I've tried to provide every update that I reasonably can throughout those, you know, whatever 12 or 14 weeks that I've been minister and trying to resolve it.
I know he wasn't re-elected, but have you said anything to Stephen Donnelly about this mess?
No, I just try to get on and move forward and make sure that it's implemented.
Okay,
and
Tom Murray. Thanks, Marie. Tom Murray is president of the Irish Pharmacy Union. Tom, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. Good afternoon, Minister, and good afternoon to your listeners.
And is it A or nay to the fiver?
I think, Joe, what we need to look at is that from day one, when the first scheme was announced by Minister Donnelly back in October, the IPU has shown its commitment on an ongoing basis to try to resolve this issue and actually to supply free HRT to women. And we pointed out that it wouldn't be free HRT. And we've been trying to work with the department on a long-term basis. We've had multiple engagements with them, and indeed we have met with the minister, as she rightly says, on two occasions.
So we are where we are today. We're galloping to June the 4th. We've galloped away from January the 4th, unfortunately. We're now galloping towards June the 4th. What do you think are the prospects that a significant number of pharmacies will participate in this scheme, Tom? as president?
I think the prospects are poor, and the minister knows why, and I'll outline that to you now. I do think it's important to acknowledge the minister.
But what would, okay, if the prospects are poor, okay, the prospects are poor because of the fiver and the 1,000. What would improve the prospects?
Well, the minister has had our proposals on, we've made multiple proposals to the minister through her department, and she has had our most recent proposal, which actually, on our figures based on actual dispensing volumes, will be done within the budget that was procured for HRT. And what the minister is asking us to do is go from taking €10 on a private fee, as she has alluded to, that pharmacists charge up to €10 on a private dispensing fee. And I acknowledge that she acknowledges that we are valued that and we should be charging a dispensing fee, to take a 50% reduction on that in the context of a time when she's also aware that pharmacies have had a 17-year pay freeze. We've 10% of pharmacies losing money. We've had more pharmacies closed for the first time in the history of the state last year than opened. So pharmacy is actually at breaking point. It's at the point where it can't take on any more services, and we've been asked to take on a service at a loss-making manner. And I don't think pharmacists are going to do that,
okay,
unfortunately.
So the fiver is
what we do want to do, yeah. What we do want to do, Joe, with the greatest respect, is provide free HRT and multiples of other services to not just the women of Ireland, but all the patients of Ireland, because we're the most acceptable form of healthcare in the country.
What happens, Tom? I know, what percentage of pharmacies do the IPU represent, do you know?
We represent them all, and I have had meetings.
Every single one.
We have regional committees for which meet with all the independent.
What happens?
I've had meetings with all the groups.
I presume there's no, given the world we live in, I presume there's no punishment on the pharmacy that did break ranks and say, we will accept the fiver, we will accept the €1,000 up front because we want to get going on the free HRT from June the 4th. Is there a sanction of can I be expelled from the IPU?
There wouldn't be a sanction, but no pharmacy, as Ornia, I think, pointed out to you earlier on, as yourself pointed out, pharmacies are businesses. In my small three pharmacies in rural Donegal, I employ 19 people. I can't afford to take on loss-making services for the state. The state already controls over 80% of my business and funds it in a loss-making way. I've been explaining this to the department since July 2023, trying to talk to them about pharmacy fees. And now, finally, we have a minister who's prepared to talk to us about fees. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, they're asking pharmacists to take on a service in a loss-making value that's not sustainable.
Let the minister reply then and take a break.
And that is absolutely, I don't want that. And that is one of the reasons that I made two offers. And the second offer was about continuing to charge the dispensing fees that are already being charged, which might be 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, whatever euro, and just implement the free medication for women. So that would have meant that the medication was free, but pharmacists would still get whatever dispensing fee they're already paying, or excuse me, charging, and I would have given them €3,000 to sign up to that scheme. So Tom is absolutely right, and I thank him for all his work on this. I want pharmacies to have a lot of different revenue streams. I have a pot of money to uplift the fees. He's quite right to identify that. I would like to see people coming into pharmacies for new things, prescription extensions, which has been possible for a while, to get prescriptions in a new and different way like has never been done before in Ireland, to be able to go in and be diagnosed by an expert pharmacist for what's called a common condition. And I've said I want to go beyond the list that's already identified. And so that you could go in once, instead of having to go to a GP, wait for an appointment, go to the GP and then go to the pharmacist. You go into the pharmacist who diagnoses you, pay a fee for it, and get your medication. And these are new, different forms of revenues for pharmacies that are more sustainable and that are better for patients, and I hope better for pharmacists, because they are using more of their expertise and they need to be supported in that. And that is the body of work that I'm really excited about.
Is there any hope in that, Tom, from the IPU?
In
the minister saying, I'm prepared to look at other services and pay for other services.
We have published a white paper in October. The minister was in November. The minister was actually there in attendance on the day that we published the white paper about all the extra services we want to provide to the people of Ireland as the most accessible form of healthcare in Ireland.
The IPU are saying that, and isn't it a great pity, given the debate in this country and the the way HRT, the menopause, have become, not just here, but in other countries as well, especially in the last 4 years, it's become part of our daily discourse, that now the IPU and the minister, well, I take a point, there's other issues that you want dealt with as well, but isn't it a pity that it's now stuck on HRT, that HRT is the battleground?
Absolutely, and it's not a battleground that we welcomed, and we certainly didn't conflate the two issues. We have been trying to talk to the Department of Health about our vision for future pharmacy services.
Okay, but the issues are, but it seems to me now the issues are being conflated, and neither side are going to move.
They're not being conflated by us, Joe, and I have been into the Department of Health over 14 times myself as a member of the president of the IPU to discuss this with them, and only last month did they agree a framework about what we're actually going to talk about, and that is still
so. You're still open. You're still open to
move from draft. You're to still open. You're actual framework.
You're still open to discussion. Thanks, Tom.
Absolutely.
Tom Murray.
We have made ourselves available always, and we'll continue to do so. We'll Minister, always be available for consultation.
Okay, good point. But Minister, you're saying you're appealing directly to pharmacists. Now, I will give you a fiver from ParaMed from June the 1st. And the free HRT scheme is in.
That's exactly, yeah. Just to keep it moving forward.
Have you a minimum number? Like, you can't guarantee anything, can you?
No, I can't. But I mean, at the same time, if you have ministers that are going to sit and do nothing, then nothing's ever going to happen. And I have to try and move it forward. And it's not perfect. Okay. And much prefer to have got an agreement. But that is the way it is. And I have to move forward, Joe.
Okay. And thanks for coming into the studio. That's Minister for Health, Jennifer Carroll McNeil. Joe at rt.ie, 51551 is the text number.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And Joe at RT.ie. Marie Fleming is there. Liam Conlon is there. Both on the same topic. Interesting. Marie, it's about air codes. Well, we've had air codes for 8 years at this stage. What's the problem?
Well, I don't know whether it's a problem or not. But anyway, I'm going to a wedding in Harvey's Point in Donegal soon.
Well done.
So I ordered a couple of frocks online.
Okay.
And one was out for delivery yesterday.
Right.
And the tracking on the website said, delivery failed, insufficient address.
Okay.
So that was yesterday. They were here twice, 9:05 and 2:40. Now, I don't know how they claimed to be here if there was an insufficient address.
Mm-hmm.
If they were here, they should have been able to deliver the address. Anyway, up I goes to the Ampus Depot at 7:30 this morning.
Well done, yeah.
And a lovely girl at the count. Well, I was eager to get the dress. Don't forget the wedding.
Oh, Carl, don't forget the wedding.
So a lovely girl at the counter found the parcel, but she thought it might have been gone back to Timbuktu or whatever it came from. Anyway, she came out to me with the parcel and she said, oh, part of your address is missing.
Right.
I said, yeah, I see that, but the air code is there first. And she says, with the straightest face in the world, she says to me, oh, we, meaning on pus, we don't use the air code.
I know.
And I says, sir, am I missing something here? She says, no, we don't use the air code. So I'm mesmerised, Joe, as to why there's ads on the telly beseeching us to use the air code so that A, B or C can get to our houses quicker. And the state
you used your air code, but they said the other part of your dress was insufficient.
There was a little part of my address that wasn't in it.
Okay.
But the air code is everything. I mean, if the ambulance wants it,
that's the ad, and it is extraordinarily handy, but you can go online now, you get an air code, you put it into a go online and you'll get the address immediately. But you're saying on post are still saying we don't recognise the air code.
We don't use the air code, no. If the full address isn't there, tough, the address goes back to Timbuktu.
Okay. By the way, Marie, do you use your air code a lot? Do you, by the way, do you don't give it to me, but do you know your air code off by heart?
I do. I have an extra little saying so that I can remember it, and I use it all the time.
Isn't that brilliant? Because when it was introduced by Alex White, then Labour Minister for Communications, I think it was around 2016, he met in awful opposition to bringing in the air code, and he stuck with it, and it's in. And now with people like you, and I think a lot of people, they now know their air code, which is fantastic, because there's so many things you use it on, but you're baffled by on post. Okay, Marie.
The other delivery services, DPS or any of them,
Amazon,
Amazon and the whole lot of them, they go by the air code.
And some places will not accept the form online unless you throw in the air code. And the state agency
for postal delivery.
Okay, we'll ask on post why they don't. Now, Marie, is the dress okay?
I don't know.
And when is the wedding?
Next week.
Oh, next Friday. Will you never get it back and back again, will you?
Not at all. It came from China and there wasn't even a sheet of paper in it.
Okay, what do you do? What do you have to do?
The first thing I won't be doing is buying any more dresses online, Joe.
Okay, they're either too tight or too big. You see, isn't that the great thing about going into a shop and trying it on? Anyway, Marie, I hope the wedding goes well. Harvey's Point's a gorgeous spot, especially if the weather's beautiful.
And can I say best wishes to my godson, Michael Murray, and his bride-to-be, Lauren Peters, and I wish them all the best in life for the future.
Oh, well done. Okay. And I'm sure you will look stunning. Don't outshine the bride like you did at the last wedding, Marie.
No. That was embarrassing. You looked fantastic.
You look fantastic. Mind yourself. That's Marie Fleming. Liam Conlon, enjoy the wedding. Liam Conlon in Bettystown.
Hello, Joe. How are you?
What's your point about air codes, please?
Well, I worked in the post office, Joe, and I retired in 2018. So, or 2017. So, it came in 2015.
Right.
And we never used it.
Why?
I don't know. We never used it. We never used it. In the 2 years I was there until I retired, never used an air code whatsoever.
And would you ever ask, like, would your job have been easier?
Well, it would be if you I wouldn't think it would have been easier, no, because...
Okay.
I wouldn't have said it would be easier, no. What you have to do is you have to put it into either Google Maps or your sat-nav. You can't just put your air code in on Google and it won't bring your address up.
No, you need to go onto a certain app, but it's fairly easy to find.
What I can't understand, Joe, is what was the address on that lady's parcel?
She admitted there was either a line or a number missing, but her air code was on it, and she thought that would get it there anyway.
Well, I'm absolutely baffled because when I was in the job, we went out of our way to find addresses for people.
I know, they're brilliant. I know, but Liam, do you know your air code?
Yes, I do.
Off by heart.
Yes.
Okay. Well, isn't that the point? Isn't that the reason why the
I don't understand. They don't use it, and even today, I don't think, as far as I'm aware, they don't use it today even.
No, well, we have a statement from the Department of Environment, Climate and Communication on post. Have previously informed the department that in advance, this is not from on post now, this is from the department, that in advance of the air code launch, they integrated air codes into their automated and manual mail sortation system across their network. And post have advised that air codes have now, that's what, 6 years later, seven, and post have advised that air codes have now been fully integrated into the National Automated Parcel Hub. DPH, they got it, not to be confused with DHL. And post actively encouraged the use by mailers, regardless of parcels or letters, of a full postal address, including air code. And they say operational matters of on post are a matter for on post directly.
Okay. Right, so, but it doesn't matter. If you can include an air code, that's fine if they brought that in, and excellent. But it doesn't matter. If you put in Joe Block 79... Railway Avenue, Blanchardstown, Dublin 15. Your item will get there. It doesn't have to have a postcode on it. But if they've integrated now, that's great, and it can be used.
Our colleague, this is a statement from on post. Our colleague, while wrong in their response that Ampost does not use air code, would be technically correct in terms of its use at local level. Ampost uses a complete postal address when delivering mail ending with an air code as the last line of the address information, if included. Our central mail processing technology is equipped to read air codes, but again, only as the last piece of information in a full postal address.
Yeah.
So if the full postal address is there, the air code is not of much use. It is not practical for an individual post person to manually look up an air code when part of the proper postal address is missing. And Post delivers mail based on the full postal address and can deliver mail with a full postal address, but without an air code. And I presume the missing line there, so to speak, is we cannot deliver with an air code without a full postal address. And Post has always delivered mail on a full postal address. So air code isn't fully there. Sure it's not.
Yeah, that's, no, it's not. Okay. And, but what and I can safely say...
Yeah, certainly. Go.
What I can say to you, Joe, is that when I walked in the job and up in Dublin for in Hermanstown, we went out of our way.
I know.
Went out of our way to check addresses, to check crazy addresses.
I know. Brilliant.
And found,
brilliant.
And nine times out of ten, found the address.
And Liam, isn't there? So, I don't know where. There's some fella in the country who gets great.
Yeah, now,
I'm post go along with this. There's some fella in the country. He puts a mystery, he puts clues on the envelope.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
The addressee is 4 minutes from the main railway station, for argument's sake, in Cork. Go to the main railway station, and if you look towards the sun or the gasometer, walk, and invariably it gets there, which is brilliant.
I remember that. So it does get there. So I don't understand why, or I can't understand if the lady had a postal code that they couldn't find the address.
Okay.
It's only a matter of going into Google Maps, and what does that take? A second.
Okay, but some people...
About a minute at least to check.
Okay, David, a minute. Quick word, David.
Thanks.
David.
Evening, Joe. Yeah, no, I was just thinking, I was the postman here, he'd park his van maybe 400 metres, 500 metres from the house up at the top of the estate.
Yeah.
And he'll pick out all the post he wants to deliver and he'll run around the estate. He literally runs, he's a runner.
Brilliant.
And he'll drop it. Now, can you see him stopping to look up an air code every time that somebody's address isn't complete? All he has, if he gets 150 Green Road, I know what that is. Point gone. But do you see him looking up an air code every time he has to look up an air code? That doesn't work.
And did you know on post they don't need the air code? They will not deliver a parcel or an item without the air code, but they will not, if the air code is included, but there's a mix-up in the address or confusion or bad handwriting or whatever, they will not use the air code on its own.
I didn't know that, Joe. No, never, it would never occur to me.
Well, that's what's happened. Okay, David Gunn-Marker, Joe at RT.ie.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And more delays. Susan, the delay is in what? The provisional driving test. What's the problem?
Good afternoon, Joe. My son applied for his permit in March, which he received. And he bought 10 driving lessons for €500, did that. And I said once he had done that I would take him out. Now, they have to wait 6 months before they can apply for the test.
Okay.
So he was eligible to apply for a driving test in September of 24. Okay? And he was given a driving test date of January 25, which was fine. He checked a couple of weeks later and that had moved into March. And then it had moved into April and now it's in June. We've had three different dates in June. Okay, it's now lying on the 30th of June that he's, I'm going to use the word because it really irks me, invited. He's been invited. They took his money in September. You don't get invited when you've paid for something. he's waiting 7 months.
And is there a date on the invitation?
Well, yes, the date keeps changing.
Okay.
We're now on the 30th of June. Now, he could check next week and that will go into July. But he's waiting 7 months now for a test that he has paid for and that he should have got within 7-8 weeks because that was the time delay that we were told about.
Okay. And of course you need to pass your driving test for so much in this life, yeah. And any excuse given for the change of, no?
I rang the RSA myself about two months ago.
Yeah.
And I spoke to a lady and I explained the situation. I'm concerned about my son. My son is a prison officer.
Okay, great.
Okay. Concerned about my son travelling on the bus every evening or every night when he's coming home, and it's the same route. And that's what I'm concerned about. Whereas if he was driving, he could take different routes home, which would make it safe. Well, I would feel safe for him doing that, you know?
I understand that.
So it's my concern is that he's waiting 7 months.
Okay. Then he pays up front and then he gets an invitation and the date and the invitation keeps changing.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. It's not a definite.
The RAS statement, the driver testing service, has seen unprecedented increase in applications over the past number of years, which created a backlog in the service's capacity, could not meet demand. Okay, thanks, Susan, and kind regards to your son, and thank him for his great service to the state as well as prison officers do. Joe@rte.ie.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
On Thursday on Lightroom, we're going to be talking, as I mentioned yesterday, about GAA's unsung heroes and heroines. Please let us know. Damien Lawler will be with us in studio. You can email joe@rte.ie, especially for men and women from your county who you think on a different stage would have got greater recognition, or our WhatsApp 087-4848-888. Soundguard Duffy, broadcast coordinator Shane Galvin, producer Alistair McConnell. Ray Darcy is next.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Discover luxurious duvet sets today. Visit harrycurry.com for stylish comfort this spring.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815 or send your WhatsApp voice notes to 087 484 8888.